How powerful are the Nazgul? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we dive deep into Tolkien's Legendarium, as well as A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. The Nazgul are Sauron's chief and most terrible servants. He uses them both as battle commanders and on secret missions. While he stays in Mordor, they are his lieutenants out in Middle-earth, spreading fear wherever they go. But how powerful actually are they? Well, let's build up an understanding of exactly what they are and what they can do. They once were all human, of course, chosen by Sauron to receive rings of power. The deal there was pretty simple. The ring allowed them to turn invisible, see the invisible realm, live long lives, gain wealth and whatever else they desired in the mortal realm. And during this time, when they were still all men, they became mighty in their day, kings, sorcerers and warriors of old. Of course, one by one, they fell under the power of the ring and turned invisible permanently, becoming wraiths and completely in the thrall of Sauron. But it's worth noting that when they started out, they were mighty humans already. Some were warriors, some sorcerers, and they presumably carried those strengths into their new life, or unlife, as wraiths. It's easy to think of the Nazgul as all the same, because with the exception of the Witch King and Khamul the Easterling, we don't really know much about any of them individually, but they are all different. The Witch King is the obvious outlier here in terms of power, apparently creating and controlling wraiths of his own, and this at the Ford of Bruinen just outside Rivendell. Then the leader, who was now half across the ford, stood up menacing in his stirrups and raised up his hand. Frodo was stricken dumb. He felt his tongue cleave to his mouth and his heart labouring. His sword broke and fell out of his shaking hand. So the Witch King can, with a gesture, strike someone dumb and break their sword. Impressive. But it's not just him. All of the Nazgul are powerful, very experienced former humans, some with magic powers of their own, immortal, with limits, which we'll obviously come onto, and crucially, cannot be harmed by normal weapons. That's quite a powerful place to start. Basically, they can't be damaged or killed by ordinary soldiers, and can cause a lot of damage. Added to which, Sauron equipped them with some pretty powerful accessories. Their black horses were specially bred to carry them, and then they got those flying fell beasts. Air superiority is a rare thing in Middle-earth. Dragons didn't venture that far south by the end of the Third Age. The eagles only turn up when they are really needed, and outside of Tolkien's more steampunky ponderings about Numenor, no one had invented flying machines. Nazgul on fell beasts basically ensured air dominance. And then there's the Morgul blade that the Witch King stabbed Frodo with. It was enchanted so that the fragment that broke off worked its way into Frodo's body towards his heart. If it had reached there, he would have become a wraith himself and under their control. Frodo survived 17 days, but evidently that was a surprise. Most people would last a lot less, and not many have access to a healer like Elrond. So a weapon where you just have to stab your opponent, and within a couple of weeks or so they become a wraith under your control. Powerful stuff. We don't know if it was only the Witch King who held such a blade, but it clearly wasn't one of a kind. Gandalf referred to it as a Morgul knife, not the Morgul knife. As a practical aside, though it's quite an important one, clearly the Nazgul can hold and use physical weapons, despite being invisible and ethereal beings. They seem to be able to throw or fire deadly black darts. At Weathertop they used swords, and the Witch King sometimes uses a giant mace. They aren't just ghosts, they exist in and can manipulate the land of the living too. Then there is the Black Breath. This is basically poisonous breath that knocks out opponents. That's what happens to Merry in Bree when he goes for a little wander about town and passes too close to the Black Riders. To be honest, Merry got off quite lightly there. When the Nazgul are deployed in combat situations, it's actually quite deadly. Both Faramir and Eowyn get caught, and we're told that they both fall into deep, cold sleeps. But for Aragorn's intervention, in time a shadow would pass over their faces as they sunk deeper, and they would never recover. In fact, The Black Breath itself is just the most extreme example of the kind of zone of fear that surrounds the Nazgul. It's actually their main weapon, as Tolkien said. Their peril is almost entirely due to the unreasoning fear which they inspire, like ghosts. He went on in The Lord of the Rings to describe the impact in this way during the Battle of the Pelennor Fields. The Nazgul came again, and as their Dark Lord now grew and put forth his strength, so their voices, which uttered only his will and his malice, were filled with evil and horror. At length, even the stout-hearted would fling themselves to the ground as the hidden menace passed over them, or they would stand, letting their weapons fall from nerveless hands, while into their minds a blackness came, and they thought no more of war, but only of hiding and of crawling and of death. This is dark stuff. Even the most stout-hearted would freeze and drop their weapon in the Nazgul's presence. By dint of being wraiths, they can also see things and people in the spiritual realm, like when someone puts on the One Ring, or powerful beings like Glorfindel, all of which makes them seem extraordinarily powerful, and they are, particularly when facing ordinary folk without magical defences and the like. But for all their power, they do have weaknesses, and some pretty significant ones. They are often described as being more powerful during nighttime and in the dark, and can see very well without light, but the flip side of that is obviously that they are weaker during daytime and don't see very well in full light. They can sense the presence of other beings and smell the blood of the living, but one of the reasons they tend to go about on the back of animals, horses, fell beasts, is so that they can rely on their eyesight. They also, like many evil creatures, are sensitive to things that are good and pure. Aragorn suggests to Frodo that him simply invoking the name Elbereth, that's Varda, the Queen of the Valar, at Weathertop, harmed the Nazgul, eliciting a shrill cry from the Witch King. And in that same scene, of course, Aragorn leaps to the rescue wielding fiery brands. The fire couldn't harm the wraiths per se, but light could, and having your robes catch on fire is very annoying, even for the Nazgul. And there's also a hint of foreshadowing in that scene, when Frodo draws his sword. Blink and you miss it, but two of the three Nazgul advancing towards him see it glow red in the spiritual realm and pause. Why? Because Frodo at that point is carrying one of the blades they got from the Barrow Downs. Merry keeps hold of his all the way through to the Pelennor Fields and stabs the Witch King with it. It's a magically forged sword imbued with power against the Witch King's army. It's quite a what-if moment, because at Weathertop, Frodo slashes his sword at the Witch King, narrowly missing him. They later find the Witch King's cloak with a cut in it. But what if he'd hit? Did Frodo's weapon have the same power as Merry's? It's very possible. And does that mean that Frodo could have killed the Witch King there and then with a luckier strike? It's worth considering. Anyway, some combination of Aragorn's fire, seeing those Barrow blades and thinking they'd achieved their objective in stabbing Frodo with the Morgul blade, meant that the Nazgul withdrew. And it's not the only time we see the Nazgul, if not exactly defeated, then pushed back by mighty foes or circumstances. Gandalf holds them off at Weathertop for an entire night, saying after that, "I was hard put to it indeed. Such light and flame cannot have been seen on Weathertop since the war beacons of old." So the might of the nine Nazgul was great, but one Gandalf the Grey could just about hold them off. And at another point at around that time, five Nazgul stumbled across Glorfindel and took a long detour just to avoid facing him. They could see his power. In the interest of fairness, we should probably note that these things happened in the Fellowship of the Ring. Tolkien says in one of his letters that the Witch King in particular was given a power-up by Sauron before the Battle of the Pelennor Fields. Well, he didn't say power-up exactly, but an added demonic force, which probably amounts to the same thing. Which brings us to their greatest weakness, which, ironically, is actually the source of their power, Sauron. It was Sauron's power through the rings that kept them bound to the mortal realm, he who controlled them and he who could give them an added demonic force when he wished. When he was destroyed, when the ring that bound them to his power was destroyed, they also met their doom. The Nazgul were hugely powerful, almost unstoppable to normal humans without any magic. Invisible, magical, invulnerable to normal weapons, sowing fear amongst their enemies. But to those who knew their weaknesses or were powerful beings themselves, then they stood a chance, as per Gandalf, Glorfindel, and Aragorn. And ultimately, they were vulnerable. It was their own lust for power millennia earlier which led to them falling to the power of the rings, and it would just take the destruction of the One Ring to rule all the rings of power to bring their own destruction. If you'd like to see more videos like this diving into Tolkien's Legendarium, there's a playlist appearing now on the left of your screen. Or to support this channel, thank you. There's a link on the right of your screen to my Patreon page. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.